Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, Common Sense, Intelligent Advice for Conservative Investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net, that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Teresa Creech joins us today. She is the executive director of the Early Learning Partnership. Been a while since she's been on here, and I'm sure her world has been just like everybody else's world since March. Ah, what are we supposed to be doing? So, Teresa, since you were last on the program, I believe there's probably been 12 to 13 or 15,000 people who have moved here and don't have the slightest idea about you and about the partnership. So tell us a little bit first about you.
Okay, great, Manny. Well, I am the executive director of Early Learning Partnership. My background, I guess I've been in Rock Hill now for about 23 years. I've been with this organization for 20 years. And I have a husband, two adult children, daughters, one in Nashville, one in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
There
and we have really enjoyed seeing Rock Hill grow. Always enjoy being invested in the community. And so it's kind of an easy gig for me, right, doing this early learning thing.
So what exactly is this early learning thing, as you call it?
So we are a nonprofit, and we are focused on school readiness. And our primary concentration is on early literacy. We want to make sure parents are reading with their kids, talking, singing, playing, making sure that they engage with their children so that they can stimulate that brain. And then by the time they make it to school, they will have grown all these neurons inside the brain. And in the meanwhile, they've been cuddling, maybe building some trust with their kids. That's kind of the social and emotional component.
You know, it's interesting that newborn moms, when they come home, they're usually sent home with a satchel full of stuff, including things to start reading. And I know they tell the moms, start reading to that child, even if she's only 2 days old. Start reading to her.
Read to that baby while you're pregnant.
Yeah, there you
go. We're one of the groups that provide materials for that. So when you take your child to the pediatrician, we have a program called Reach Out and Read. It is a nationwide program. It's evidence-based, and we know from that program that families that read with their kids have greater brain connectivity, and those kids do better, do well when they get to school. So when you go to your well visit with your pediatrician, say, do y'all do that Reach Out and Read program? But they'll be giving you a book to take home and talking about, you know, developmental stages with your child and read.
So now, do you track this stuff? In other words, through the pediatricians, the OBGYN offices and the pediatrician offices. Do you track and actually find out, like, how many books they gave out? And
we do. We do a lot of reporting for that. Since it is a national program, and when I say evidence-based, what that means is all of this reporting, this data collection that we do, is accumulated to show, and basically focuses on studies that will verify. We just got a new study released that showed that a program like Reach Out and Read is successful because you have a doctor, a medical professional, who is explaining to the parent why it's important and giving examples and showing how to read and point and touch and talk about colors. And just really you're trying to grow vocabulary.
So is this what each of the doctors is doing when they're seeing the patients?
That's right. Doctors, nurse practitioners, nurses, they're all trained in the pediatric practices for those well visits. So when they're doing simple things like, oh, it's time to get your MMR vaccine, right? Things that we do, immunizations. They also talk about why it's important to read, because it's a huge growth indicator for that child before school.
So the Early Learning Partnership here in York County, Chester County, Lancaster
York,
County?
Just York.
Mm-hmm. Just York County.
Four school districts.
Is part of a national program?
This program is. We are a local nonprofit, so we only serve York County. Okay. Our board is made up of 21 individuals who represent all four of those, you know, the geographic area of the school districts.
Okay.
But the program itself is a national program that we pay for, we sponsor here.
Right. So your funding for the Early Learning Partnership here in York County is coming from where?
It comes from grants, foundations. It comes from local businesses. It comes from book clubs. It comes from individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
And you use a lot of those dollars to buy materials. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually purchase the books that go to the pediatricians' offices. So we have a particular kind of a curriculum that we like to follow, things we know that are age-appropriate and language-appropriate. And we deliver those to the pediatrician, and they have a bookshelf there in their office. And they will pull a book and put it with their the materials, like when you check in, right?
Right.
And then that book goes along with that particular visit.
So if a mom walks in with a five-year-old for a routine, whatever, a set of shots or a physical or whatever it might be.
Right.
That pediatrician is probably going to find the five-year-old book.
Exactly.
Send it home with mom and say, how about reading this to your son, a daughter?
Yeah, may actually be showing that mom how do you read to your child. Might actually read it and demonstrate. And that starts at birth. So as soon as that baby's born, their very first checkup, which can be in the first 2 weeks, it starts. So every time they go in.
And so it goes from birth until
five.
5 years of
birth
age.
Birth till five.
Birth to five. And you've got, Lord knows, you've got plenty of pediatricians and obstetricians around here that you're working with.
We do. But now we're not in the OBGYN.
Okay,
practices.
Just pediatricians.
Right. Then. We would like to expand to there, but that's a funding thing, right? We got to have money to do that expansion. And right now, with the COVID era, I would say that has been, you know, something we have to be aware of. Where can we be when?
So do you periodically, I don't know, put on some type of a forum for all these pediatricians and their staff to come in and say, look,
so
here's what we're all about.
Right. So we do. And we do staff trainings. Primarily online, as you might imagine now.
Right.
But oftentimes we would do a staff training with a practice. Each practice gets a visit once or twice a year minimum. And we can tell by the reporting that we're doing and our inventory of books, we can kind of tell if their numbers seem like they're, you know, kind of how they should be, how many they're seeing. So we track how many well visits there are and how many children get books. And we communicate with them on a daily basis. So my colleague, Rachel Hubbard, is our program coordinator, and that is what she does. She tracks these numbers, does the reporting. We do surveys with the parents, and then she keeps up with all the inventory of the books and who gets what when and who's running out of books and who needs books. And so, that's our largest program that we run.
So in a course of a year, approximately how many books are you all getting out there to moms?
Yeah, so in that program alone, probably close to 24,000. But overall, this past year, our fiscal year is July 1 to June 30th. So This past year, we gave out over 36,000 books in York County. Whew. From birth to age 5. And those, you know, we help stock a lot of little free libraries. We do all types of community giveaways. Back the Pack just happened with our, you know, Sheila Caldwell and her program to get school supplies out. And we gave books for that. So community events, we want to make sure books are provided.
So if there's an opportunity for a gathering that involves young children,
right,
you're going to find out about it and see if you can get a book included as part of whatever the packet is that's going out.
Right. And we're excited because we have a new program coming up. And this is called Loads of Literacy. And we'll be putting little libraries, little books on bookshelves in 5 laundromats throughout York County.
All right.
Henceforth, Loads of Literacy.
How did this, I mean, where did this one come from?
Yeah, so this is actually done in other parts of the country, and we've been wanting to do this for a while. And so we're really fortunate. We have great community partners, and the Junior Welfare League is going to help us with this, as well as the York County Library. Previously, before COVID, we had planned to be doing story times every Saturday mm-hmm. at these libraries. But since we can't actually be out and do story time, we still have permission from the laundromat owners to put the little bookshelf, the library, inside the laundromats. And if you think about it, it's a perfect place. A lot of kids have to go with their parents or their grandparents to the laundromat. And those kids tend to sit there with nothing to do. So we're going to have books available. There'll be some little craft activities that they can take home and do or do while they're there. And we're excited. It's going to be fun.
Well, that's a great idea. You're absolutely right. I can remember those days when we used to have to go to the laundromat and just sit there and watch the tumbler go. Boom, 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 boom.
Right. And a lot of families go to the laundromat. And so we just, I don't know, take that for granted, right? That's a place where you need an activity.
So tell me about the feedback you get on this, on these programs. I mean, do the pediatricians or their staff say to you, this is the greatest thing that that we're doing, people are really enthusiastic about this, or are you getting some feedback the other side of the spectrum, they're not paying any attention to this, and they don't want to do it, da-da-da?
Oh, no, I think for a pediatrician, they love that it's part of their daily routine because, first of all, they get to give a book away and encourage that parent. And a lot of parents, maybe they didn't have reading kind of, you know, as part of what they remember growing up. Mm-hmm. So when the pediatrician tells them, well, they believe to do anything that pediatrician says, right? Because none of us got an instruction booklet when we had our kids. But I also think from a pediatrician standpoint, they can use that book to notice. It helps them with their diagnosis. So if, for example, a child looks at that book upside down, you know, maybe that child's 3 years old and doesn't understand reading left to right, or doesn't understand up from down. Maybe there's a learning disparity there, right?
Yeah.
Or especially, maybe the parent has a learning disparity, and so that parent, that the doctor can say, just point at pictures, name colors, what sound does that animal make? You know, it doesn't really matter what you're saying. You can make up a story to go with the pictures.
So really, the book could almost be an assistant to the pediatrician as far as a diagnostic tool.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And that's what's so beautiful. I mean, this program was created by a pediatrician in Boston. And that's why it's been so successful. They can see that by using this process, it helps them. It helps break the ice. It certainly makes that child less nervous when their pediatrician reads to them.
And the earlier you pick up on these problems, the greater opportunity you have to fix them.
And that is where our economy comes into play. Because the earlier we address school readiness and kids are ready when they get to school, then the longer they stay in school. And the longer they stay in school, chances are they're going to graduate. And from graduating, they'll probably get a post degree of some description. And that is how we make literate civic individuals who have jobs, pay their taxes, and help our economy grow.
And are productive members of society.
Correct.
Gotcha. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. They teach you this in the pediatrician's office as well. It's as important as reading that book, understanding how it's done here at Substation 2. And we're all going to say it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there's no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator and Founders online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for a membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Teresa Creech is with us today with the Early Learning Partnership. And she stumbled onto something just before the break that I want her to elaborate on. And that is when you talk about school readiness, it's almost like life readiness. If you can get started on the right foot with this stuff, it can really mean the difference between what kind of life this young child is going to have when they get older. Correct?
Correct.
So take me through this. In other words, somebody who is appreciates reading and can read, they will be more productive members of society?
Well, the thing is think about a day. Just stop and think, what is an average day like for you if you couldn't read, right? Think about what you do. Right? So you get up in the morning, and if you are in an environment where reading's important, you may, well, we used to read the newspaper, right? Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, the hard copy. You know, now people read online news.
Yeah.
You may have a lot of magazines in your home. Your home's full of print-rich materials. You would have a book that, you know, maybe that you read every night before you go to bed. Those are things that are habits of people that are readers that a lot of folks really don't prescribe to anymore. And what we wanted to say is as the adult, as the caretaker in your home, take time to just sit down and do some fun reading with your child. And when we're going through this pandemic and everything's so aggravating, and and you know, maybe you've been indoors with your kids a lot, or even out, take them outside, right? Use a book. Make that part of a fun event each day.
So how challenging has this little device that we all have either in our pockets or in our purses been to what you're trying to accomplish, i.e., you know, the cell phone?
Right. Well, I think a lot of people will say that it's a distraction oftentimes. Mm-hmm. It's like anything, balance, right? Everything requires balance. But if you talk to real readers, and if you talk about engaging with children, they need to see that book. They need to understand the difference between left and right reading. They need to touch it. It's tactile. They need to be able to chew on it. When a new baby wants to stick that book in their mouth, right? Yay, that's good. They're exploring. That's creativity. Those are all things that are normal developmental stages.
But, you know, I think this can also be an aid to what you're talking about. For instance, I know that one of the things that I enjoy is the Audible app here, where books are read by authors or whoever. And, you know, recently what I do is I'll buy a book, and then I'll get to have it read to me as I'm reading through the thing. I mean, it's just interesting when you hear the author read the book.
And there are a lot of great, you can put it, like, own in the car, right?
Absolutely can.
And, you know, and then you can talk about it. You can ask questions about it. Obviously, all of these things would be age appropriate. So it kind of depends on what age we're dealing with. But, you know, you can always enjoy reading together.
True.
No matter the age.
I just finished reading a book through Audible as I was reading along. Pat Conroy's The River is Wide. And to hear that book read really made a big difference, because he was talking about how poor the education was on what they called Yamacraw Island, or Dufusky Island. And it was just, to hear somebody read it in that dialect made a huge difference.
Yeah, it's so enjoyable. And there, you know, there are a lot of e-books, and kids today have so many choices. I'm still kind of a traditionalist at heart. I like, especially for young children.
Sure.
I don't think they need a lot of additional screen time. before age two, they really, it shouldn't have screen time. But just a few little reasons why early literacy matters.
Go.
You ready?
Yep.
So reading with a preschool child is the single most important activity to prepare a child for school. The most critical predictor of eventual high school graduation and career success is a child's reading proficiency by third grade. Low literacy is the socioeconomic factor that prison inmates have most in common.
Is that right? That's
correct.
An interesting statistic.
Studies show that children entering kindergarten may have as much of a vocabulary gap as 8 years. And that's because a child who has not been read aloud to may have a limited vocabulary of a 2-year-old. While a child who has been read aloud to every day may have the vocabulary of a 10-year-old.
Hmm.
So that's the difference, right, by entering kindergarten.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
No question about that at all. It's interesting.
So
what else is on that list? Anything else?
Yeah, a couple more things.
Go ahead.
So academic failure in late elementary school results in increased risk for substance abuse, delinquency, teen pregnancies, school dropout, and violence. That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, the average middle-income child has 100 hours of being read aloud to as compared to 25 hours for low-income children.
You know, it's something so simple to do, no matter what your stage of life is. I don't care whether you're rich or poor or whatever the case is.
Exactly.
You can certainly help a child break a cycle. Or you can help a child become something more than they ever thought they would be if you can get them engaged in this thing called literacy. Because if you can't speak the King's English or read the King's English, as I say, you're not going to go very far. I don't care how bright you are. You got to be able to communicate.
And the reward to that is a relationship of trust and resiliency with that parent and caregiver.
Yeah. So what's your biggest challenge these days? I mean, you sound like you're pretty much on autopilot.
Yeah, well, I guess our challenge is we can't do anything in person. We can't go to events with children. We can't have, you know, reading events with Digger, the dog, our Comporium buddy. We have a hard time with that, but we're very fortunate that we can continue to get our programming through our medical venues. And then we have to be creative. We have to be very willing to change. And so every year you need, every month, you might have to revisit how we've done things in the past.
So we talk about Digger, which is Comporium's mascot.
Yes.
Why couldn't you get Digger to do a Zoom? Let Digger...
Yeah, and we have actually had, on CN2, Digger has done some readings. So we've done some things like that, and they've played them, and that's fun. It is fun. There's just something about with little children being in person,
one-on-one,
down on their level.
Which is why the governor wants to get everybody back to school. I got it. Very important, especially at the elementary level.
Yeah, it's important, but we also have to be very careful for the adults involved. So, we're fortunate and we're very thankful for our partners in the medical practices that are out here and helping us continue doing our work.
So do you have a website where the knowledge of the world is located?
We do. ELPofYorkCounty.org.
ELPofYorkCounty.org.
Right. And on there you will see we have a blog, and that blog runs off of our social media down below. And so you can see what's happening on a daily basis with ELP. You can see ways you can help. We hope we can educate you a little bit.
So the suggestions you get back from the parents who are doing this via the blog or a call or whatever, what kinds of things are they telling you?
Oh, they love. First of all, who doesn't love to get a free book? It's just exciting, right? But for a lot of parents, they could afford as many books as they want, and a lot of parents can't.
Sure.
So, especially in these times. So to have those books, or to be able to go to a little free library and take a book, or to go to a laundromat and get a book, these are all easy things for us to be able to contribute, and it makes a big difference in a child's life.
36,000 books you gave out last year.
And that was with COVID. It would have been more. We would have been at 40,000 easy.
Well, Teresa, you all are doing a great job. And, of course, you can go to the website, elpofyourcounty.org, find out more. And if you'd like to help them out, I'm sure you're looking for volunteers, money, whatever.
Yeah,
right?
You're
like every other nonprofit.
Yes, we also take gently used children's books to be donated.
There you go. Wonderful. Teresa Creech is her name, and she is with the Early Learning Partnership doing great work. And thank you for being with us on Straight Talk today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday afternoon. Tomorrow, Mark Nasaka. We got our fingers crossed. The CEO of Piedmont Medical Center will be with us. And needless to say, they have got plenty of things to talk about as we continue to go through all this pandemic throughout the country and right here in York County. And Piedmont Medical Center will be with us tomorrow with Mark Nasaka. So that's going to wrap up our program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live every day from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The way we do it is the way that everybody knows it should be done. And we're going to say it loud and clear at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Dark, dark, dark.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.